Hey, football fans. I'm Diana Rossini, senior NFL insider at The Athletic, part of the New York Times. I recently started the podcast Scoop City with my good friend Chase Daniel. He played backup quarterback for 7 different pro football franchises over 14 years. Our close access to football people helps us keep you in the know all season long. New episodes of Scoop City drop every Tuesday and Friday from The Athletic. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Michael. Today, we have something really special for you. A blissful break from the news. It's a new series from NYT Audio called Animal. My colleague, Sam Anderson from The Times Magazine, traveled the world to have encounters with animals, not to claim them or to tame them, but just to appreciate them. Each episode is a journey to get closer to a creature that Sam loves. For the next 6 weeks, we'll be running this limited series every Sunday here on the Daily Feed. But if you want to hear all the episodes right now, you can search for it wherever you get your podcasts. Today, episode 5. Take a listen.
From the New York Times, this is Animal. I'm Sam Anderson. Episode 5. Wolves.
I don't care about it. Okay. Well, we should.
The shop closes at 6. Do you think we'll be back by then?
Yes, 5:15. Maybe.
I can't imagine that there'll be like a ton to do that.
No, I agree. I don't think we need to do that much. I mean, we just want to make the pilgrimage to the.
Oh, really?
The statue, yeah.
Okay.
You know about the statue?
No.
Okay, we're going to tell you in the car.
Okay.
And you can tell the driver.
The first thing I remember about our trip to the wolf statue is that we almost didn't go. People told us not to bother. The memorial is out in the middle of absolute nowhere on the edge of this tiny village in Japan. It would take all day to get there and probably be a giant anticlimax. But I was already in Japan because I was working on a story for the magazine about Hayao Miyazaki, the animator. And since I'd come this far, I just felt like I really needed to do this.
Yeah, it's really pouring.
Bullet train from Tokyo to Kyoto. Regular train from Kyoto to a smaller city called Nara, which is famous for its deer. We come out of the train station and it's pouring rain. That's another reason not to go on the pilgrimage, because it's just soaking rain constantly all day long. I'm with Crystal Duhame, who's carrying a gigantic microphone around everywhere, and then Samson Yi, our incredible interpreter. And so we step out of the train station into the rain, and there's this black car waiting for us. And out steps our driver, who's this 30-something man, nicely dressed. He's wearing like a gray suit with a red tie. Samson talks to him and says his name's Daisuke. Daisuke-san, to be polite. And Samson climbed into the front of the taxi to sit next to Daisuke so that he can interpret our conversation.
Yes, it's okay for you to record his dog. He might not be able to meet your expectations.
We start heading out of the city on this kind of wild, windy back road, and immediately we're sort of in the middle of nowhere, and it's still pouring, it's foggy, we're passing through woods and bamboo, and it is really beautiful. It feels like we're driving into an old landscape painting.
So, Samson, let me tell you about the statue, since you have no idea what we're doing.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember asking.
Maybe ask Daisuke-san if he knows anything about the Japanese wolf.
Can you ask Daisuke-san, our driver, if he knows anything about the Japanese wolf? So Samson did, and no, he'd never heard about it. But
I don't know anything about the wolf, but I love animals, and I have a chihuahua at home.
Wow. I have a chihuahua.
What's the name of the chihuahua?
Chihuahua, nante namae desu ka?
Gotaro.
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 Boy's name.
Otoko no ko no namae desu kedo, gyappo nerai de onna no ko nan desu.
He has a boy's name, but it's a girl.
And Samson laughed because Gotaro is a very male Japanese name. It's like apparently like some kind of warrior name. He said the Chinese character for it means like hard metal. And Daisuke named this chihuahua the most masculine, tough name he could think of, because chihuahuas are so fierce and have such strong personalities. So he did that deliberately. And the fact that he would connect that to wolves, that was a funny thing about him. It's like instantly we said wolves, and he was like, oh, I love animals, and I have a dog, a chihuahua, which is on one hand a hilarious answer, but on the other hand makes perfect sense, because wolves and dogs, I came to learn on this trip, are essentially the same thing. I mean, we went to talk to one of the great dog scientists on planet Earth, and he was telling me that dogs are really just wolves that have developed over thousands of years a very intimate relationship with human beings. He's done all this incredible research, including discovering that dogs cry when their owners come home after a long period away. They have moisture in their eyes, and wolves don't. So that's one of the ways they're different. But otherwise, they're just, it's more a continuum than it is a bright line that divides them. So Daisuke got that right away. He was like, you're asking me about wolves? I'm going to talk about my dog.
I'm just explaining what we've been doing in the last few days.
So I'd been spending the last few days of my trip in Japan learning about wolves. And so I started telling Daisuke-san the epic saga of the Japanese wolf.
The basic story is there used to be wolves in these mountains everywhere, all over Japan.
I think of a wolf as an American. I think of like a big timber wolf or a gray wolf, like a big snarling mean dog. Japanese wolves were different. They were smaller and sort of a reddish khaki color and cute. Weirdly cute for a wolf. Before I went on this trip, I read this book called The Lost Wolves of Japan by a historian named Brett Walker. And basically, for many thousands of years, wolves roamed all over Japan, and people revered them. They saw them as sacred guardians. They protected crops. People worshipped at wolf shrines, and they left offerings of rice and beans outside of wolf dens. But then in the 1700s, there was this big rabies outbreak that made wolves actually quite dangerous. Wolves were killing people. And then in the 1800s, there is a huge cultural shift in Japan where the country started to, quote unquote, modernize. People started doing Western-style agriculture, huge cattle herds. And so wolves began to seem like pests. They were killing livestock. They were, you know, encroaching on these cities that were growing deeper into the wilderness. And so Japan decided it was done with its wolves. And the government sends out these hunting parties to systematically exterminate the Japanese wolf. And they did. They used guns, they used poison, they used traps.
As far as we know, the last Japanese wolf was killed in 1905, and it's historically documented, and they know where it was exactly, and they know which wolf it was. It was a male wolf, and it was brought dead and sold to a Western man in 1905.
They say the last known Japanese wolf, it was seen kind of skulking around this lumber yard in a little remote village. And somebody shot it and sold it to a Western man who was passing through town collecting zoological specimens. And so this statue that we're going to is the memorial to that last wolf. It's a black metal statue based on the body of that wolf near where that wolf died. And so we were driving out to see.
I'm really happy that I'm able to be part of the trip because I really love dogs myself. And I'm able to maybe share how you might feel about this trip or going to look for the dog, look for the wolf.
Daisuke was the chattiest, probably the chattiest cab driver I've ever had. And whatever he talked about, it always came back to Gotaro. For instance, he was telling us, like, oh, I'm a YouTuber, and I have a YouTube channel about cars. And I said, oh, what's the name of the YouTube channel? Because I immediately wanted to look it up. And he said, something, something, I don't speak Japanese, so I couldn't understand her, but I distinctly heard the word Gotaro. And I said, wait a second. Did he say Gotaro again? Is his YouTube channel named after the Chihuahua? And Samson said, yes, it's basically Driving with Gotaro.
Driving channel.
Wow.
So he really likes the dog.
Yeah.
本当に好きだなと。
So where are we? We really are out in the middle of nowhere on this tiny road.
So we are in this car for a very long time, driving on these windy roads into the mountains, through forests. There's just occasional houses, fog, still pouring rain. And then Daisuke-san starts telling us his life story, which turned out to be much more than we were prepared for.
I'm Shane Goldmacher. I'm a national political correspondent for the New York Times covering the 2024 election. I have off and on for years covered the role of money in politics, and that means sifting through tens of thousands of line items in campaign reports, looking at who's getting paid, how much they're getting paid, who's donating to these campaigns, who's reserved the most ads on Google, who's this billionaire changing the shape of the race with a single check. Look, the campaign spin, the strategists tell you one thing, the numbers don't really lie, and those numbers help us ask the right questions. That's what's so special about the New York Times. We get to tap the collective knowledge and wisdom of my colleagues who have expertise in every nook and cranny of this country and this campaign trail to tell you the full story of what's happening in these critical moments in the last few weeks of the election. If this kind of coverage is important to you, you can support it by subscribing to the New York Times at nytimes.com/subscribe.
So we are still in this car. Maybe we're halfway into the trip at this point. And Daisuke started ruminating and then told us the entire story of his life, basically. I remember Samson being like, okay, he's telling me his life story now.
So he's talking about his life story now and how he used to live in Osaka. Osaka, yeah. He got married with his wife in Osaka and lived there for 2 years. He used to drive a garbage truck, and his wife's dad, after they got married 2 years, asked him to come live with them. So his parents-in-law asked him to come live with them, and her dad, the wife's dad, worked at the same taxi company as this company, and hence he and his wife and Gotaro moved from Osaka to Kyoto, to Nara, and lived with his father for 4 to 5 years. But then his father-in-law left the taxi company.
So, yeah, he's a garbage truck driver in Osaka, and he got married, and they agreed to move in with his father-in-law, his wife's father. In Japan, traditionally is a very hierarchical society, so your wife's father would be someone you pay a lot of respect to. So they moved in with him.
So actually, his father-in-law didn't like animals at the time, but then he knew that if Daisuke's family would come and live with him, the dog would come along, the chihuahua would come along. And because Gotaro is a dog you have in the house, so his father-in-law knew that, and then they brought the dog over. Okay. 連れて帰って、連れて行ったんですね。そうそうそう。で、お父さんがこれ仕事を辞めることになったら、ずっと家にこもりっぱなしになって。Because the dad left his job and no longer drives, his father-in-law is at home all the time.
そしたらね、虐待が始まったんですよ。
So he started, the father-in-law started being really rough to the chihuahua. So like violent.
So Daisuke says a couple times he came home from work and it seemed like Gotaro was hurt. And there'd been no one home all day except Gotaro and the father-in-law.
So at the time, for the first and second time, when he saw the scars, he knew immediately that the scars on the dog was caused by a person. So unless there is some thief who broke into the house, it could only have been his father-in-law. So he approached his father-in-law and told him that to stop hitting the dog. And he was telling his father-in-law that you wouldn't like it if someone hit your grandson or grandchild, his son or child. So, please stop, is what he said. I warned him twice. We talked about it. The third time, When I got home, the chihuahua's left eye was like really red and was like bulging. We took the chihuahua to the hospital and he lost his left eye. Even Gotaro is a dog, Gotaro is also family, and I just couldn't forgive him. And I told him that we just can't live together anymore. And we decided to leave his house.
嫁さんと子供らにもどっちでもいいってその俺について来るやったら続いてくるでいいしここに残るやったら残るでいいけどどっちにしてももう生活できませんって。I
told my wife and my children that they are free to stay if they want. So my wife can stay with his parents if his dad if she wants, but I'm leaving with Kotaro.
でまあ最終的に 僕ら家族ですね。うん。え、嫁さんと息子娘とチワワは、え、そこから引っ越してまた別のところでまた新しい生活を送ってます。In
the end, the five of us, me, my wife, and my two children and the Chihuahua left that house. Now we're living away from the dad.
まあ、それからお父様とはあんまりお会いしない。もう絶縁状態ですね。
We never see her dad ever again after that incident.
When we fact-checked the story, we talked to Daisuke's wife and the vet who treated Gotaro for her injuries, and they both corroborated what Daisuke told us. And we tried to reach the father-in-law directly, but we weren't able to talk to him. Daisuke told us his father-in-law denied hurting Gotaro. We also found out a couple of other things. First, Gotaro actually lost the vision in her right eye, not her left. It was a detached retina. And also that Gotaro was not always named Gotaro. Originally, she was named Love. That's actually the name the vet knew her by. And Daisuke says when his father-in-law got angry, he would shout the word love over and over. And Daisuke decided he didn't want to relive that trauma anymore. And that's when he thought of this name, Gotaro. He wanted to give the dog this tough warrior name.
Sorry, it's just... Sorry, the story's gotten all serious, is what I said.
No, that's very intense. So this... So Gotaro has no left eye.
Gotaro has no left eye. Yes, yes,
yes, yes. But the eye is... It's like a person who...
So he's saying how, you know how when humans, like Yagi-san actually, you know how when humans, when you lose sight, use your sight of one eye, it can really affect your everyday life. But then it's not so much for a dog, because for a dog, of course, the dog can see, but he also relies on his smell a lot more. So perhaps it doesn't affect the dog's life. It's interesting when he said life, when he referred to the dog, he says jinsei, which means human's life. So he really think that the dog is just like human, and the fact that he has lost his left eye might not have as much of an effect to the dog as it would if it was a person. I mean, despite the fact that the incident made me really angry and really sad, and it was like a huge thing to me, perhaps, and I tried to think it this way, I tried to put it this way, perhaps for the dog, it's almost like a blocked nose, you know? And maybe it's not that big a deal for it. And I try to think it like that, so that I can keep sane, I guess. And it's really, you know, the dog itself, it's really healthy, and Gotaro is just fine, doing just fine. If we have a chance. Later, I can show you a video of Gotaro.
Yes.
And he's saying how Chihuahua, like wolves, howl too.
So, I just saw a sign that said the name of where we're going.
Yes.
What is it called again?
Higashi Yoshino.
Yeah, and it had a wolf on it. It had like a little wolf silhouette. Did you see that?
I think we are closer, maybe 4 or 5 minutes away.
Okay.
Wow, this life of story of his has become so much more intense than I imagined. I thought we were just gonna sit on a taxi and go and see a statue.
Gotaro. Yeah, I mean, as we approach the wolf statue here, I think that's actually the perfect conversation for us to have approaching this statue. Because part of why I think I felt drawn to see this statue was that it does represent one individual animal. It's not just a symbolic wolf. It is an animal that was as much an individual as Gotoro, or as Walnut, my dog, or as any of us in this car. This was a specific creature. And as the last wolf, it had lost everyone. It had lost its family, its friends, its a whole community and pack. And that's just, that's really deep to think about.
So, yeah, suddenly we're there. It's just like the GPS was like,
this is it.
We're here. And it was really a nothing. Like, it was...
It's really quiet, maybe because it's Sunday as well.
There was like a little roadside sign, and then you just had to kind of pull off the road onto the shoulder. Traffic, you know, cars driving by were just right there, driving by right next to you. And so it was really a nothing of a sight. That said, we get out, it's pouring rain, Daisuke gives us umbrellas, and it's so beautiful. We truly are out in the country. I mean, there's a road that runs by, but right on the other side of the road is this beautiful river rushing with all this rain. And then just these cascading mountains with fog all over them that really look like a beautiful classic Japanese painting.
Be careful. I don't think cars stop.
I don't think anyone ever comes here.
It was completely quiet, except for when occasionally a car would go racing past. There's a big sort of stone tablet with a lot of Japanese on it that Samson read to us.
What does it say?
It says, wolf died and its spirits exist, lives on. Oh. So, wolf dies, but its spirits live on.
Well, I feel like shy to approach the wolf. We've come all this way, and I feel like hesitant to. But I guess let's go see him.
There's something really powerful about the scale of it being the actual scale of the body of the animal itself.
It's so much smaller than I thought. I've seen a photo of it before, but standing in front of it, it looks like a pet dog. It looks like a million dogs that I've played with. Just kind of like a small, medium dog.
It's just like cute, but it's also fierce. It's this black metal.
It's got its mouth wide open. You can see its teeth. I think it's howling. Which reminds me, they call it, hold on. Looking up my Japanese term.
I'd learned this word earlier on the trip, this incredible Japanese word, which is power spoto. Which is just an adoption from English, power spot. So just a place that's really full of power. And this, to me, standing by this statue was powerful. Just this humble, modest little thing, kind of an afterthought of a memorial.
One Japanese term from the book we were reading, it says the Japanese once revered the wolf as Oguchi no Magami, or large-mouthed pure god. And you can see the large mouth. I mean, the jaws are wide open. It's howling. I really would love to hear what that howl sounds like.
So, yeah, we stood and Samson, who, one of the great things about Samson is he is just completely unflappable, unimpressed by anything.
So how do you feel having been on this journey with us, knowing all that you know now about the wolf story, coming all this ridiculous way to make this pilgrimage to stand at this statue that no one ever comes to, I think, pretty much. How do you feel standing in front of it? Was it worth it? Do you feel anything?
When I first heard about the story that we were going to go after an animal that was supposed to be extinct like over 100 years ago, I wasn't sure what I was going to expect. And then we're here now, and I do feel, listening to you talk about how this guy here we have in front of me, particular, lost everything, and he's the last one. Like, what would the last statue of a person be like? What would the last statue of a dog or a cat be like? How would human think of that? Especially in Japan, when he is literally a god. Big god. And now he's just a stone in the middle of the street. And it's even difficult to park your car because there's no road to this thing. You know, whilst we pray on other things that we call God that has replaced this thing. That's pretty deep now.
Yeah, so you're having some feelings and thoughts.
Yeah.
The unimpressible Samson.
It's kind of sad when you think about it.
It is really profound. This was the last thing of its kind. And the rain is coming down. It's just like soaking. It's like dripping off the fangs of the statue. And then Daisuke pulls out his phone and says, oh, I want to show you a picture of Gotaro.
Sure, let's see Gotaro.
And as we're standing next to the statue of the last Japanese wolf, he shows us on his phone screen this picture of this little white chihuahua. She's so cute. We were just like, our hearts melted. She's laying on her side in like a nest of blankets and having her belly rubbed and her eyes are closed. And it just looks like the sweetest little thing, and like she's so happy and in heaven.
One last question for Daisuke-san. So the wolf is howling. I really wonder what its howl sounds like. And I wonder if maybe while he's waiting, could he find that video he told us about?
So
Gotaro.
He went back to wait for us in the car, and we stood for a while longer in the rain. And then eventually everyone was starving and we had to go get something to eat. And we got back in the car and Daisuke said, I found it. I found the video. And he played us this video. Of Gotaro the Chihuahua howling her little brains out at an ambulance. And it's like the most like tender. She's howling so hard. And it's such a soft little, such a soft little tender Chihuahua howl. It's so primal. Imagine it coming out past the fangs of this Japanese wolf, echoing across the wilderness. Gotaro. Thank you. This episode was produced by Crystal Duhame and Larissa Anderson, with help from Caitlin Roberts. It was reported by me, Sam Anderson, and edited by Larissa Anderson and Wendy Dorr. It was engineered by Marion Lozano. The executive producer is Paula Schumann. Original music by Marion Lozano. Fact-checking by Samson Yee and Josh Hunt. Special thanks to Jake Silverstein, Sasha Weiss, and Sam Dolnick. Very special thanks to Songwoo Kim, Alex Martin, Hiroshi Yagi, Hiroyuki Yoshimura, Hajime Suzuki, and Takafumi Kikusui. Thank you so much for teaching us all about the Japanese wolf and its relationship to dogs and humans and crying and all of that. You can listen to all of our episodes wherever you get podcasts, or visit our website at nytimes.com/animal. I'm Sam Anderson. Thank you for listening.